I like to sit in the very back pew. I like my hips from the WWE, cause I'm a Lutheran. By grace I'm saved, I'm a Lutheran. Don't like to make waves. Could this be what Martin planned when he answered his critics and said, here I stand? That's what we say together. When he answered his critics and said,
here I stand,
I'm a Lutheran. Well, I don't like my services to last too long. I like my sermon short. I like my coffee strong. I'm a Lutheran. By grace I'm saved. I'm a Lutheran. Well, I like to make waves. Could this be what Martin planned? And he answered his critics and said,
here I stand.
I'm a Lutheran. Well, I'm usually shy about saving souls, but I can make a wicked tuna casserole. I'm a Lutheran. By grace I'm saved, I'm a Lutheran. Don't like to make waves. Could this be what Martin planned when he answered his critics and said,
here I stand.
Yes, I'm baptized, I'm confirmed, I'm catechized, I've been Martinized, I'm a Lutheran. Yeah. Alright, that was good. You can roll the tape. I'm Mike Blair, leading together tonight with my wife Sue Blair, a session that we're calling Washed and Born. And tonight we'll offer a session of stories that could be called Midrash. Midrash is a Jewish word that means stories about biblical stories. And we'll be telling some stories that are related to our theme. And as we've looked at the theme of water washed and spirit born, we've come to a lot of different birth narratives in the scripture, both in the Old Testament and New, and we'll be sharing some different perspectives on that. In our other sessions, we're taking time to do some small group work and break up to try our hand at doing a little creative Bible storytelling of our own. But tonight, we'll mostly share some stories and songs, and we hope that you find in the offerings that we have perhaps a deeper understanding of what it means to be God's sons and daughters, to be washed by the water and born by the Spirit. And we're going to start out with the story of John the Baptist. Now, some of you know John the Baptist. Who can tell me something about John the Baptist among the kids that are here? Okay, well, what can you tell me about John the Baptist?
He was arrested.
He was arrested, and he met a terrible death. Very good. But tell me, before he got arrested, there was a nutrition class here earlier this afternoon. What would John eat for his nutrition class? Anybody know what he liked to eat? Yeah, he liked to eat bugs, bugs and honey. So we're going to sing just a brief song about John the Baptist. And I figure if John the Baptist, partly because I always look for any excuse I can to sing the blues, but John the Baptist being a wild man, I figure that he would be a blues singer if he were doing his work today. So this is, and just a word from the Gospel of Luke before we sing John's song. In the Gospel of Luke, in the third chapter, John the Baptist says, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled and mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked will be made straight. Rough ways will be made smooth and all flesh and salvation shall see it together." So here's John the Baptist. "I live in the woods. I wear camel hair clothes. And when I get hungry, I have me some honey and bug Cheerios. I said, make straight the paths, make mountains low. Get ready for one who's so mighty, I can't tie his shoes." And you can sing with me. I've got a serious case of those prepare ye for the way of the Lord blues, okay? Let's just say that together. I've got a serious case of those prepare ye for the way of the Lord blues. That's a mouthful. And you can say it. "I've got a serious case of those prepare ye for the way of the Lord blue. There's trouble in the west, there's trouble in the east, but I've been sent to guide your feet in the way of peace. I said, make straight paths, make mountains low. Get ready for one who's so mighty, I can't tie his shoes. I've got a serious case, I've got a serious case of those prepare ye for the way of the blues. You can get your higher degree, spend all your life in school, but without the word of God, you know you'll be nothing but an educated fool. Come on, I said, make straight paths, make make mountains low. Get ready for one who's so mighty I can't tie his shoes. I've got a serious case of those preparing you for the way of the Lord blues. Last time, I've got a serious case of those preparing you for the way of the Lord blues. That was good. Good work. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for women and men of faith who have gone before us, whose stories we share. For John the Baptist and Moses' mother, Shipra, Pua, Mary. Be with us tonight as we tell these stories and as we learn what it means to be your sons and daughters, baptized in the name of Jesus and born by the Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, you know about John the Baptist being this wild man, being this guy that's out there wearing camel hair clothes and eating bugs and honey and telling people, you better fly right now and get ready because the Lord is coming. But you may not know the story about John the Baptist, about when John the Baptist was born. Now, there was a couple, good people, a couple named Zechariah and Elizabeth. And they were righteous people. They were the kind of people that were so good. Sometimes you meet people like that and you think you could only wish good things for them because they were always doing right by their neighbor. They were always good models of what it means to serve the Lord and to love neighbor, to love your neighbor as yourself. And they had one wish that they really truly wanted in their life, and that was to have a child. A son they wanted. Zechariah hoped he had a son who would be a priest like him. But into their old age, this wish and prayer was never granted. It was a prayer that they would pray often and something that they hoped for many years, but it was not granted to them. And they took it as a shameful thing. Well, one day, one time when Zechariah was serving in the temple, he had the high honor of going to the Holy of Holies, burning the incense and offering the prayers and making the sacrifice. And it was such a frightening thing to do that sometimes they would tie a rope around the priest's ankle when he went in there, just in case he passed out or something, or something wild happened, they'd drag him back out to make sure that he was safe, because only the highest of priests could go there. And so Zechariah had this honor. And when he was there, he was in the Holy of Holies, and the incense was being burned in the sacred place. And for years, when he went to the temple, he would pray, "Oh Lord God, grant Elizabeth and I a son." Well, he didn't pray this prayer anymore, but he prayed this prayer for many, many years. And on this day, when he was in there in the temple, burning the incense, all of a sudden, there was someone standing on the altar. Right there, right above the altar, standing just like on this table up here. Except he wasn't exactly standing on the altar, he was just over it. And he had this white tuxedo on and these great rings. He had a big G right here, a monogram right on his jacket, and he just looked stunning. He was brilliant, and Zechariah was afraid. And this angel, his name was Gabriel, he said to him, "We're going to hear more about Gabriel." But Gabriel said to him, "Zechariah, Zechariah." Zechariah thought he heard somebody calling his name, and he wondered, "Boy, maybe I just didn't get enough sleep last night. Maybe I'm just not feeling so well." But then he looked up, and he saw, this was an angel talking in, Zechariah. And the angel said, "Hey, congratulations, Papa. It's going to be a boy. And you're going to name him John. And he will be mighty and lead people to the Lord. And he will be righteous. And people will look very highly on him. And he will be a mighty prophet in all the land." It was more than Zechariah could even hope for. But he thought this must be some kind of mistake. If it was God calling, it was the wrong number. Well, Zechariah, he looked up at this angel, didn't know what to make of all this, and he says, "How can this be? Elizabeth and I are so old. Now, can you imagine if your grandma and grandpa came to your house and said, 'Guess what? We're going to have a baby.'" Now, that's what Zechariah was thinking. How could they bring news like this to people? This just wouldn't happen. Gabriel was so disappointed. Oh, his wings kind of sagged, and he thought, "It's always the same. I bring people this great news, and they don't believe it. And this time he was especially disappointed in Zechariah, because he was a priest, he had prayed this prayer for years, and now it was answered. But Zechariah, he didn't receive it. And so Gabriel said, well, see, it doesn't exactly matter whether you receive this right now or not. It's going to happen. The Lord has said it. It's going to happen. You're going to be a father. It's going to be a baby named John. It'll be a mighty prophet, mighty in all the land. Bring people to repent and to turn themselves to the Lord. And he said, but because you didn't receive this so well, there's going to be a little complication here. You won't be able to speak for 9 months until this baby is born. And he said, also, remember, Zechariah, this story is no immaculate conception. You've got some work to do. You've got to go home tonight. So Zechariah was kind of puzzled for a minute, then he realized just what Gabriel meant. And Gabriel looked at him and winked and says, now you know what you have to do now, don't you? And Gabriel said, well, he couldn't say anything because he was speechless. And as it turns out, just before he left, Gabriel said, now go home. Go see Elizabeth. Go see the wife of your youth, who you've been married to faithfully for all these years. And he said, but I have one gift to give you. And he gave him this little package. And Zechariah took it and put it in his pocket. And he came out of the temple. And he looked dazed. The people thought, my gosh, what happened in there? They heard all these wild stories about the holies of holies. And when they saw Zechariah, they thought those wild stories must be true, because Zechariah wasn't saying a thing. And he hadn't learned sign language yet, so he was kind of making these gestures and talking and flapping his arms like he was trying to tell them about this angel, but the people just were confused. And so Zechariah began to walk home, and he just left the crowd there stunned and confused. And he began to walk home, and he began to think about what Gabriel had said. And pretty soon he was walking faster. And pretty soon, instead of the step of an old man who was tired and weary, he had the spring of a young man in his step. And he was walking home. And on the way home, he stopped at the florist and he got some flowers. He stopped and he got some new albums. He got some Johnny Mathis and some Frank Sinatra. Oh, he was getting out the big crooners. He even picked up some Patsy Cline. He was getting out the torch songs. Boy, Zechariah was going to go full tilt tonight. He got a bottle of wine. And he came home, and Elizabeth knew he had been at the temple, and she expected him to be very tired and to come home and maybe lay down, because, well, he was getting old, and she was patient with him. But he came home, and it was like when they were first married. He was so frisky, she didn't know what got into him. She said, have you been hitting that tub of wine again, Zechariah? And he was going around the room, dooby-dooby-doo, dooby-dooby-doo. And he was lighting candles and fixing a dinner and telling her to sit down. Elizabeth couldn't make anything out of this at all, and she was starting to get angry at Zechariah just because, well, he just was not himself. And although she thought this was fun, but it was also unusual, and she just wasn't sure. And finally, she said, Zechariah, talk to me. Because he just kept trying to make the sign language and looking at her and winking and going like this and talking about. And she even took that as hurtful, because he knew how deep this longing for a child that they'd had for years, what this meant to her. Well, finally, Zechariah remembered that he had a gift. And he took this, and he took this package and pulled it out of his pocket. And he gave it to Elizabeth, and it was assigned to Elizabeth from Gabriel's Good News Incorporated. And she opened it, and there was a little card with it that said, congratulations, it will be a boy, and he will be mighty before the Lord. And Elizabeth knew that this was not just Zechariah in some kind of unusual, well, he was, priests are unusual types anyhow, but he wasn't talking at all. He wasn't talking at all. But she looked, and they held each other. And they laughed and cried. Well, Zechariah did his best silent laugh anyhow. And they laughed and cried together, and they went together to their room, where they had made love many times. But this would be a time when now they would bear a child. And their faithfulness and love would bring a child named John. Well, through all of these 9 months when Elizabeth was waiting to have a baby, well, there are all kinds of stories about Zechariah were being told, about why he couldn't speak and he had done something wrong. And they were making up, and people were having fun with him. But he was starting to get pretty good at writing in the dirt with a stick and developing some of his own sign language. And over the years, or over those months, Elizabeth would sit and sing and comb her hair, and Zechariah would watch, and he couldn't believe that this was happening for them. And finally came the time. The water broke, the babe was born. And the people all came, and they thought for sure, well, let's name, it's a boy, and they were all excited. It'll be named Zechariah. It'll be named for his father, because this child, of all children, is someone special. And so everyone was ready to decide for Zechariah since he couldn't speak for himself. They talked about it and said, we'll go tell Zechariah, we'll name the child for him. But Zechariah then said, he took that little rattle, that little gift that he got from Gabriel, inside that package, and he gave it next to that baby. The baby's little hands could hardly even grasp it. And finally, now Zechariah could speak again. And he said, this child shall be named John. People were stunned that he could speak now again. And they all laughed together. And Zechariah and Elizabeth gave each other a big hug, and now they were parents. What were they going to do? They were grandmas and grandpa age. Now they had a baby to raise. How complicating. Zechariah was, now he had to go get the tidy-dighty service, fix up the, well, he'd been fixing up the nursery for a long time. But they were ready for this. It was such a bittersweet and wonderful surprise. And the baby was named John, and that's the story of how John the Baptist was born. Now we'll hear just another a different kind of story. In our class, sometimes we've been working on narratives from the first-person perspective. And there are two birth narratives at the beginning of the Gospel of Luke. In our Bible studies, we're focusing on the Luke-Acts narratives. This is a brief picture of what it might have looked like when, what it might have been like when Mary got this good news from Gabriel the angel. So in the beginning, we're sticking with this Gabriel theme, and Sue will present one of Margie Brown's sketches called Gloria. You can say a little more if you want to draw folks into that, Sue.
Right. To begin with, we're going to step back in time, but not all the way to the time of Mary. Instead, we're going to step back maybe just, a few years back. And we're going to imagine that that Gabriel appears to Mary in our lifetime, in the 90s. And so what I'd like you to do is to imagine that she lives out in the country. We're from Iowa, so let's say that she lives in this big, beautiful, white farmhouse. And there are farm animals around her house. So could you give me the sound of a few chickens and ducks and got the picture? Okay, we're out on the farm. We're out on the farm, and Mary is busy cleaning, and I also want you to imagine one of those really nice big porches that has just, it's very large and spacious and a neat place to welcome people. And I'm going to need a farmhouse door, a really big door. Would somebody like to be the door? Okay, great. And let's see. It's a big door, so I need maybe two people. Okay, come on up. Okay, and if you guys stand right about here, like that, that's good. And then why don't we use that hand for the door handle? Okay, let's see if it works. Works pretty good. And then we need to practice a little bit here. We're going to open the door, so now you guys have to keep your shoulders together. I'm going to open the door like this. A little squeaky. Okay, and we'll shut the door again. Very good. Okay. Okay, now your part is when the angel Gabriel comes knocking at the door, he's going to ring the doorbell. So if you guys will just practice a ding-dong all together. Ready?
Ding-dong!
Okay, so whenever I turn my back and close the door, you guys ding-dong for me, okay? And if you're all set, we'll begin.
Ding-dong!
Oh, good morning. Yes, I am Mary. And you are? Gabriel. Nice to meet you. Can I help you? A message. The Lord is with me.
I don't see anybody. Is somebody out on the porch with you? Okay, I'll read on. I have found favor with the Lord. You go tell him that I like him too. But if you'll excuse me, I have some cleaning up to do.
Ding dong.
You again. And the name? Gabriel. It's nice to meet you, Gabriel, but yes? Blessed be the fruit of my broom. If you'll excuse me, I have a lot of sweeping up to do, as you can imagine.
Ding dong.
Weird. Blessed be the fruit of my womb. You're not making any sense. Look, if you have a message for me, just say it straight and simple. That's pretty straight and simple. Gabriel, you're telling me that I'm going to have a baby? That kind of thing door to door.
Ding.
Ding. Ding dong.
What is this? You're serious, aren't you? Well, that is a pretty crazy proposition. I mean, how can it be? Why would I want to do that? I'm not married. Okay, so this must be some special kind of kid to come all this way. So, okay. What kind of kid?
Yes?
Really? Jesus? Jesus Christ? Magnificent! Well, if what you're saying is true, then who am I to pass up an adventure like this? I'm gonna say it. Gabriel, you can go tell the Lord that he's found the mother for Jesus. Am I scared? No. Yes. Yes. It is scary, and people will talk. But who am I to pass up an adventure like this? Yes. Yes. Oh, you're welcome. Well, thank you. I think. Oh, well, there he goes. Look at the wingspan on him. Joe. What am I going to tell Joe? Oh, Joe! Joe, you're never going to believe this. No, that's not it. The end.
for a couple of stories from the Luke Acts, from the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, the story of the birth of John and the beginnings of the story of the birth of Jesus. We're going to go back to some Old Testament. We're going to go back to some Exodus stories, some stories that we looked at a little bit last week in our studies. And we're going to sing a spiritual just to get us kind of in the Old Testament Exodus story frame of mind, and we're going to sing Wade in the Water. So you all need to sing as Wade in the Water.
Wade in the water.
You sing, wade, wade, wade in the water. So when I sing,
over those children dressed in white, wade, wade, wade in the water.
You know it must be the children of the Israelites.
Wade, wade, wade in the water.
You got to wade in the water.
Wade in the water, children.
For the faith of the Jews, a story that they remember every year at the Passover, and a story that Jesus would have known very well, a story that he would have heard many times over, and all the Jews of his day, and even Jews today, that they keep telling again and again. It's the first story, at least the one that is written, of any successful slave revolt in the history of humanity, the first time where a group of people who are enslaved and oppressed are able to escape. And it happens. It happens by the hand of God. And now imagine if you were trying to figure out a way to escape the hand of this wicked Pharaoh, the only one in all the land who can speak a word and it is done, who commands great armies and has mighty wealth and power. Now, what would you do if you wanted to overthrow Pharaoh? What would you do if you needed to overthrow someone who was that powerful? Do you suppose you'd get a big army? How about for some of you kids? What would you do if you were going to take on Pharaoh? What would you want? Who are some of the people you'd want on your side? Would you want somebody who was lowly and weak? Or would you want someone who was big and strong, tough? You'd probably want somebody who was big, strong, and tough if you had to meet up with Pharaoh in the back alley. But God doesn't do things in a typical ways. Do you have another idea?
Someone big and strong like God.
Okay, well, that's it. Well, God was against Pharaoh, and so that was a strike against Pharaoh right away. But I'll tell you another reason Pharaoh didn't stand a chance in the long run, because Shiphrah and Puah were not on Pharaoh's side. They were on God's side. I'm just going to read a couple of verses from the beginnings of the first chapter of Exodus. And the king of Egypt had called Shiphrah and Puah, who were two midwives who were responsible for helping these Hebrew children be born. And Pharaoh called them together. And this is what it reads. This is how it reads. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shipra and the other was Pua. When you act as midwives to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, she shall live. But the midwives feared God more than Pharaoh. They did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they let the boys live. So the king of Egypt summoned them and said, why have you done this and allowed the boys to live? And the midwife said to Pharaoh, well, these Hebrew women, they're so vigorous. They're not like the Egyptian women. They give birth before the midwife can come to them. So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very strong. And the Pharaoh commanded all of his people, every boy that is born to the Hebrews you shall throw to the Nile, but the girls you shall let live. Well, this is a remarkable story and unlikely beginnings about how God began to overthrow Pharaoh, who was wicked and ruthless against the Israelites long after the days of Joseph. And in order to understand this a little bit better, we have a brief word from Pua, who was able to come and visit with us tonight, one of the great heroines of the Bible that maybe we haven't heard of before.
What I like about this story is that as I imagined and listened to those scriptures readings being read, I thought those two women, Shipra and Pua, had personalities. We seem to read over that verse so quickly, and it might be fun to just imagine for just a moment or two what their conversations might be like when they were devising a plan to overthrow Pharaoh, to outwit Pharaoh. So I'll be Pua, and I'll begin. Rock my soul in the bosom of Abraham. Rock my soul in the bosom of Abraham. Rock my soul in the bosom of Abraham. Oh, rock my. Oh, Shipra, you hear me in there? It's not gonna work. No, I just don't think it's gonna work, Shipra. How can we convince Pharaoh, the Pharaoh, that the Hebrew women are so vigorous out in the fields that they can have those babies before we can get out there and deliver them and then kill them? We just can't do it. We can't outwit Pharaoh, Shipra. Oh, stop saying poo poo poo, huh? I'm listening. Who do I fear more, Pharaoh or God Almighty? Shipra, that's a dumb thing to ask me. You know who I fear most, God Almighty. God who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and who helped create babies and helps us bring them into the world. That's who I fear, Shipra. I fear God Almighty. So I see what you're saying. If I fear God Almighty more than Pharaoh, then God's on my side, and you might have something here. Hey, you know what else, Shipra? I don't think Pharaoh's ever seen a baby being born. Yeah, you know, I bet he can't even stand the sight of blood. You're right. You're right, Shipra. He's not gonna come out there in the fields and check us out. It just might work, Shipra. It just might work. Rock my soul in the bosom of Abraham. Rock my soul in the bosom of Abraham. Yes.
I'm going to ask the kids to come up, please, and sit around here. Are you kids sitting here? I'm going to need some help with this. You know, I've been working on a song. I'm going to need your help because, even though I went to college and stuff, and I still sometimes can't think of the right words that I need. So I could use your help with a song here. And this session tonight that we're doing, we'll finish just a little bit early because of Vespers coming up, and we're going to help with that. But I could use some help particularly with this song. up there. All right, well, I've got part of it down, and I want to do in the story of when Moses was born. You might remember that when he was born, that something unusual happened to him as a baby. He got put, do you remember what happened to Moses? What happened?
His mom and his sister put him in a basket and floated him down
the
river.
Very good. He was put in a basket and floated him down river. Now, I don't think, it'd be hard to imagine putting a baby in a basket and put it in the river, wouldn't it? Like if your mom and dad said, where's your little brother or sister? And you said, oh, I put them in a basket and they're floating downstream. You'd probably be in big trouble. Yeah, that wouldn't be a safe thing to do. But you know what? This happened because things were so terrible at that time for the Hebrew people, and especially if a baby boy was born, well, their life was in big jeopardy. So Moses' mother figured that this was the one chance that her son had to survive. And again, it's another story that shows about how God's ways are really surprising, and how a baby floating down the river became the beginning of how the Hebrew people were going to be set free. But I've got a part of the song worked out, and it goes like this. In this basket I put my hopes in the Nile. Spirit of God, watch over this child. Can you sing that with me? In this basket I put my hopes in the Nile. Spirit of God, watch over this child. That's pretty good. Let's sing that once more. In the basket I put my hopes in the Nile. Spirit of God, watch over this child. I've got some verses I'm working on, but I need some help thinking of some words that rhyme. So if you kids could help me kind of tell the story. A babe was born in Egypt, in a distant foreign land. A child to lead the people out of Pharaoh's hand. Let's see, his mother prayed her son would be spared from evil schemes. In the waters of life, she placed her child, carried by truck. What's wrong with that? I kind of like the idea. There's a truck you can count on.
It doesn't rhyme.
It doesn't rhyme. Sorry, guys. Okay, let's try this again. Her mother prayed her son would be spared from evil schemes. In the waters of life, she placed her child, carried by streams. All right, carried by the streams. Let's sing that refrain. In the basket I put my hopes in the Nile. Spirit of God, watch over this child. Again, in this basket I put my hopes in the Nile. Spirit of God, watch over this child. Let's see now. Pharaoh's daughter found him and took him as her own. And so she sought a nursing maid until the babe was 11. Now wait, what's...
11 doesn't rhyme.
11 doesn't... Boy, we got some pretty particular poets here. You guys are good. All right, let's try this again. Pharaoh's daughter found him and took him as her own. And so she sought a nursing maid till the babe was
home.
Grown, okay. Grown. And the word came to his mother and carried great relief. She would nurse the water child. Joy replaced her grief. Let's sing in the waters. In this basket I put my hopes in the Nile. Spirit of God, watch over this child. In this basket I put my hopes in the Nile. Spirit of God, watch over this child. Let's see what else we can come up here. You guys are helping me out. So now to sons and daughters, God's calling still remains. We're led through the waters to break oppression's chains. We stand with Moses' mother, with courage.
courage and faith strong. Like her and Moses, we are born by a spirit water poem. How's that? Let's see, try that again. We stand with Moses' mother, with faith and courage strong. Like her and Moses, we are born by a spirit water song. It's too easy, isn't it? Song. In this basket I put my hopes in the Nile. Spirit of God, watch over this child. In this basket I put my hopes in the Nile. Spirit of God, watch over this child. Well, thanks for helping me work on the song, and especially for helping tell this story of Moses. Thanks a lot.